Okay, we come to the sixth commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Now, we all know the Bible says there are 10 commandments, but the Bible doesn't number the commandments. Human beings have numbered the commandments, and so Martin Luther, when he was writing his small and large catechism, he listed them one way. The Reformed Church listed them another way. So if you were to go on the computer and say, what is the sixth commandment? 90% of the answers would be, thou shalt not kill. Okay? So we don't get upset because there is a different human numbering of the commandments. As long as you have all 10 of them present and we study all of them and know them, that's what we want. Now, I got to tell you about this man. He was rather agitated as he gets in his car and races on over to his friend at 9 o'clock in the evening. His friend greets him and says, wow, I've never seen you so upset and agitated. What's wrong? The man says, I got this letter today, and here, you read it. So his friend reads the letter, and in part it says, if you don't stop running around with my wife, I will blow your head off. His friend paused for a moment and then said to him, well, this is easy to solve this problem. Stop running around with this man's wife. The man said, yeah, I know that. But this fool who wrote this letter didn't sign his name, so I don't know which one he's referring to. And so it is humorous, yes, indeed. But it's also so tragic because it just really explains a little bit of the tenor of our society today, the sixth commandment trampled so easily underfoot. Well, it was our God who in the beginning, yep, he invented sex and marriage. He created it. He made us male and female. This was God's idea. And he says, oh, it's very good. Read Genesis 1 and 2 and about the creation of Adam and Eve and husband and wife. And you know, there have been polls taken in America about what was the sin in the Garden of Eden, and like 90% of the people will answer, it was a sexual sin. No way, had nothing to do with that. Remember what their sin was? In the day you eat of it, you will be like God. It was the sin of rebellion, wanting to be like God, equal to God. It had nothing to do with sex. But most Americans feel that was the first sin in the Bible, happened in the Garden of Eden. Well, sex and marriage is good, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. It's only the abuse and misuse of sex and marriage that brings in so much heartache and tragedy. Now, I can remember my professor telling the class in seminary, and that was a few years ago, 50% of all troubles in the home can be traced back to a violation against the sixth commandment. Well, we thought he was exaggerating a bit, so we asked him about that. He said, just wait until you get out into the ministry, and you're going to find that to be true. Yes, my friends, the devil and our world has done a terrific job in getting a lot of people to believe that they can have sex with any man or woman, with any boy or girl, or any combination of the same that fits under the abbreviation LGBTQ. That's where we've come today. I would say 30 years ago, all of the LGBTQ was under the covers in deep secret. Today it's out in the open and it's in your face. And it's more and more in the television viewing and so on. We've done a 180 degree turn on this subject and made it open, made it legal, and made people proud of their sin. Together with that, I want you to know this, that do you know that in the United States, 150 pornographic films are produced each week and spread around the world? Each week. Can you imagine? There's 52 weeks in a year. And so it just floods people's hearts and minds. It's everywhere. And how about our music? A lot of our music has sexual innuendos to it. I don't listen to hard rock, but I'm told that a lot of hard rock is rather vulgar and explicit. And then if you just rent a movie or go to Netflix and you want to have a little evening of entertainment and relaxation, so often it comes up that there's a scene of adultery or fornication that doesn't really have a lot to do with the plot, but it's there. And so it's always just before your eyes, in the movies, in book, in magazine, and on the internet. So America, this is to say nothing of the rest of the world, is being inundated with this. And it's not something that's just in a corner. It's a part of our everyday lives everywhere we go. So that it shouldn't surprise you that people take their marriage vows rather lightly. It shouldn't surprise you that the divorce rate is high and that there are so many extramarital affairs. So, that is the situation in which we find ourselves. But I want you to know that sex outside of marriage is a fatal attraction. It looks so attractive that people begin to play with that attraction. The fatal attraction can soon turn into a fatal addiction, and pretty soon they're bound in it, and they can't explain why they can't get out of it. They're bound. A fatal attraction leads to a fatal addiction, and the fatal addiction leads, yes, to a fatal destruction. So what we're talking about tonight is of the utmost importance, and I just pray that in what we share, you'll be able to pass on a lot of this to others, that we get the word out. Now, St. Paul, he talked a lot about sex and marriage in his many epistles. In one place he said, "Your body does not belong to you. You have been bought with a price. You are to glorify God with your body." And then when you get married, did you know, St. Paul said, now your body belongs to your spouse. And if you're not married and you're single, that doesn't mean you're free to do what you want, but your body still belongs to the Lord. So I think it would be very helpful to see these words of the apostle. I'll read it slowly, but he talks quite a bit about marriage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says, "Since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." So that's some good advice. for married couples. Then as we just share another word from St. Paul from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says this, "Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more." So our goal in life should be, I want to please God in all things. And why do we do this? Out of love for the Lord Jesus who saved us from sin, death, and hell. And we're so thankful that he redeemed us and saved us. We say, Lord, I want to please you. What do you want me to do? And as we learn the commandments, we know what he wants us to do and what he doesn't want us to do. But let's make that our aim, to please the Lord in all things. Then he goes on, "For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus." These instructions that we receive are not from man. Yes, the Apostle Paul wrote them down, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they come from the authority of the Lord Jesus. So when I say, well, let's read these words of St. Paul, they're not just man's word. They are words imparted to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. "It is God's will that you should be sanctified and that you should avoid sexual immorality." Now, sanctified means that it's God's will that you keep growing in your faith and your knowledge of God and his grace and his truth. And avoid at all costs sexual immorality. So it takes a little awareness, intentionality, as we go forth to avoid sexual immorality, which is everywhere. So you have to keep this on the front burner, that you don't want to go to places and where the temptations abound. "That each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable." And so we're called upon to deny ourselves, have self-control and self-discipline as we go forth in life. Scientists tell us, okay, the human being has three major drives. The drive for hunger, I need to be satisfied. The drive for thirst, I need water and liquid, I need nourishment. And also that urge for sex is there. So, while we know those drives are in our bodies, the apostle says, wait until you can truly enjoy the fulfillment of the sexual relationship in marriage, which is honorable in God's sight. Then Paul goes on to say, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. So we must not develop a philosophy which says if the world says it's okay, it must be okay. Everybody else is doing it. Why can't I? Don't be like the heathen who only live for the present. They're not even thinking about their soul and eternal life. They're just living for the here and now. And that soon comes to an end, quicker than we think. So don't be like the heathen. We're told, don't be a copycat. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. So God, who knows all things and sees all things, says that those who transgress against the marriage vow, they can and should expect retribution. God says, I will punish those who willingly, willfully go out and commit adultery. And that's why, as we'll talk about later, we can commit adultery with our minds. That's why we should always be so quick to come to the cross of Jesus, confess our sins, and be washed in his blood and in his righteousness and be made clean. The apostle finishes up by saying, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. The word holy in this context means to live a life separate. We're in the world, but to be not of the world. A holy life, separate from what the world is doing. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. There are just tons of people who would reject everything I've just told you. But when they do so, they're not rejecting a man. They're rejecting God himself and driving away the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, you can't believe. So if a person drives away the Holy Spirit, the only thing that can happen is that their hearts become harder and harder. And it can mean, you know, destruction in this life even before Judgment Day arrives. So we have all these instructions in God's Word, and we want you to be reading and studying God's Word. But our society is increasingly promiscuous. Our society tells us if it feels good and it's illegal and it doesn't hurt anybody, go ahead and do it. Go for it with all the gusto you can go for. Because you only have one life to live. You only have one go around, and that's it. Well, they got that right. You only have one go around, and after that is the judgment. And they're not even thinking of the judgment. They don't even say there is a God, or that when they're dead, they're dead. But God says we have an immortal soul, and we will be brought into his presence. And so the world has a way of just saying, go for it, if that's what you will like. Jesus, however, does us a favor by giving us a deeper insight into the sixth commandment when he says these words in his Sermon on the Mount. He says, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, every man that looketh upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. In his heart. That's where it all starts, in the heart. Bible says man looks at the outward appearance, how you're doing outwardly. Bible said God looks on the inside, in the heart. He wants to know the motivations, what's happening. And you can't hide anything from God. And Jesus tells us we need to guard our hearts, for out of the heart come the issues of life. He says out of the heart proceeds all sorts of evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, blasphemy, false witness. These are the things that defile a person. The heart. Well, I want you to think of sex in this way. Sex is like a wonderful river. Okay, think of a wonderful river. When the river stays within its borders, the river is beautiful, it's beneficial, it's enjoyable. But you let that water go over the boundaries and flood everything. The flood brings destruction and ruination everywhere. That's what happens when people say, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And God is warning us in his word. He says, I love you, and these commandments are for your well-being and welfare and happiness. But when we violate them, we bring a lot of destruction into our lives. So we are to guard our hearts, because our hearts convey what we think. Then what we think often turns into deeds, and what we do often turns into ruination. So we have many temptations out there in this world, and I think one of the biggest temptations for men and women today is just simply pornography on the internet. And this may be a greater temptation for men than for women, but we've got to make a covenant with our eyes that we're not going to lust after other people. And we've got to do away with the idea that lust is harmless, it's innocent, it's just a little pastime, won't hurt anybody. When actually, if that gets into a habitual practice, it can erode a person's spiritual life and make them unfruitful toward God. So, what I would suggest is that if there's any problem any of us have with pornography, that we put a block on our computers. There are many different little programs out there that don't cost too much that will keep you and me from accidentally involving ourselves in things we don't want to be involved in. I have this program, Covenant Eyes, on my computer to safeguard myself, but my grandkids come over. I don't want them into anything either. And, you know, something else about the internet. Your children and young teenagers should not be allowed to work on the computer in isolation, behind closed doors, where no one sees them. Dr. Phil, who many of you know and respect, has said openly, there should be zero tolerance for young people to have the computer in isolation. It should be out on the dining room table. It should be out in the living room. Because young people know the computer far better than we do. They do. And they can get into chat rooms. They can pass photos. They can be on the internet, and you wouldn't even know what they're doing. And then years later, you reap the consequences of their actions by something that happens. And you say, why didn't I know about this? Well, you could do something right now. Maybe this is not of great concern to you personally, but maybe your kids need to know something more about this. Covenant Eyes is one word, .com. Go to that. You can put this on your smartphones, on your internet, and it just blocks things that would normally come right at you. Have you heard on the news how, you know, so many of the kids in school today are learning from the online internet? Well, there have been people who have hacked the internet, and all of a sudden these children are studying some subject, and pornography jumps in. Have you heard that? Yeah, it's happening. So, I mean, but if you have a blocker on your computer, and this won't happen. It's a very small price to pay for the contentment of knowing that they're not secretly doing things that you would not want them to be on. The temptation is there. Let's address it forthrightly. Let's know that it only can pull us down, and that pornography is just one of many temptations, but it's so accessible today because of the internet that we need to be forearmed for what is out there and so much in our face at all times. Did you know, by the way, that lust is one of the seven deadly sins? Let's take a look at this for a moment. Sloth is one. That means just being a lazy person. You don't want to be that. Pride. Oh, I'm a self-made man. Look at me, what I've done. Look at how good I am. Anger. Malice toward people. Angry. Road rage, whatever. Envy is a form of covetousness. I want more. Gluttony, overeating, overdrinking. Greed, the love of money. And then finally comes lust. That is something that happens in the heart, but it can so easily then lead to the deed and then to the ruination. So if it's one of the seven deadly sins, let's take this deadly serious and see what we can do. If it's not something that bothers us, pornography on the internet, be alert to help other people, somebody in the family, someone else that you can share this with, so that it doesn't wreak its havoc in the mind, the addiction, and ruin a life. And maybe ruin, many a marriage has been ruined by pornography. as it takes over. So, I would say to you, you older people, to younger people, don't call me or the church, a goody-goody, prudish person when I say to you, handle sex with care and respect. Sex is not a toy, it's not a plaything, it's not an animal instinct. It's a gift from God to be used wisely. Treat it with care. And since there is not one of us who have kept all the commandments perfectly, in fact, in thought, word, and deed, we've broken them all, that is why our Heavenly Father has had mercy on us and sent His only begotten Son into the world to redeem us and rescue us from our sins. Not so that we can go out and sin some more. Please, when the pastor says, and your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, don't say, that's my excuse now, I can go out and do some more. Confession always contains in it the idea of repentance, that we want to turn from what is wrong and go God's way. We want to please Him. So we want to live for the Lord Jesus who died for us and rose again. And do you know this is what the Bible says of the Lord Jesus? He was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. That's hard to comprehend. The Lord Jesus tempted in every way as we are. But yes, it's true. It's what the Bible says. And He is more than able to help those who are tempted. If you'll just go to Jesus and say, Lord, not my strength, it's yours. I need you every day in every way. Lord Jesus, you lead and guide me. Show me the way. You are the way and the truth and the life. You see, our problem is not that God wants to forgive us. Our problem is that we often don't forgive ourselves. We think about the mistakes we've made in the past, the shame and the guilt of the past. And so we don't forgive ourselves and we just carry this heavy burden around with us. That's why I say, you and I, we need to be regular in our church worship, because you hear the Word of God and the Holy Spirit works through the Word as it's proclaimed. And your faith is strengthened and you're able to go out and live for God. So keep up your faithful worship. And then you need to come frequently to the Lord's table. So, and you need to hear the Lord say to you, this is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And you need to say often with David, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So, accepting the forgiveness that comes to us through the blood of Jesus, and growing stronger in our faith through prayer, God's word, and sacrament, our lives can receive so much joy and pardon and peace and rest and happiness. There's victory over sin in Christ as we cling to Him and trust in Him as our Lord and Savior. St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's make the Lord Jesus the Lord of our lives, the Lord of our homes, and invite Him in. And ask Him to lead and guide. And I tell you, our homes can be so filled with peace and joy and contentment and happiness as we live for Him who died for us and rose again. So, there is inestimable value in knowing, studying, believing, and obeying the sixth commandment. We are told in the Scripture, we are not our own. We have been bought with a price, the price of Christ's own blood. Therefore, let us glorify God in our bodies. Amen.